What's that?
High five.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pause.
There you go.
Said the words, I hadn't really thought of the meaning of it. In life, we get a lot of things thrown at us. Jesus has always held my hand, and if something hits me, I can't fall with him holding my hand. I hope you enjoy this song as much as I have.
Great job, Chloe. You did an awesome job, didn't she? Give her another hand.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good to have you in the barn of the Lord. Amen. In the barn of the Lord. Well, we're excited to have you this morning. If you're a guest with us, we are so glad that you joined us this morning. We meet here every Sunday at 10:30. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you every Sunday. We've got some great people here, some people that truly love the Lord and truly want to worship God. And so we're excited about this church. If you're a guest with us and you want more information about our church, there's a guest table right out front. You can grab that. You can take the information that's there. There's a pamphlet kind of thing there that you can take and read over. You can figure out who we are, what we're about, our values, and all that cool stuff. We don't take an offering at Thousand Hills, but if you feel led to give, there's a feed bucket on that table. You feel free to throw whatever in the Lord leads you to throw in. We do have children's church, so as soon as the music is over, sixth grade and under are welcome to go to the cafe for our children's church and enjoy that. We have some great children's workers there. Cowgirl Couture Women's Bible Study. This week will be our last Wednesday for our Women's Bible Study. So if you've missed it so far, this is your last chance to come to Women's Bible Study at 6:30 at the bank on 7th and Texas. And we would love to have all the women and teenage girls, everything, come to that as well. Youth camp. If you want to go to youth camp, if you're a teenager or a preteen, there is information on the table out there. If you desire to go to youth camp or preteen camp, then we need to know this morning. So if you will visit with me as soon as we get through here, we will hook you up with the information. T-shirts. We were ordering some more T-shirts. If you didn't get a T-shirt last summer or the last spring, we are going to order some more T-shirts. They're not like the ones last year. They're actually going to be 100% cotton. I think last year they had some fitted ones for the girls or whatever. But they're just a normal T-shirt, 100% cotton, pre-shrunk. The T-shirts will be great. And my wife, Heather, where's she at? Up there at the top. Back row, pastor's wife. that's the children's section, isn't it? Where the kids can run a little bit. Anyway, she's going to be taking those T-shirt orders, so if you want to see her as soon as church is over, that'd be great. You can get you a T-shirt. Let's stand at this time, and let's greet one another in the Lord. You guys shake somebody's hand.
We are, but we're going to do
seated after you shake somebody's hand. Seniors, we want to give our graduating seniors a gift this morning, and we are excited. I know some of you parents are excited that they're graduating. I don't know how. They've already packed their stuff and put a down payment on that apartment, you know, trying to get them out. But no, we are excited. We are excited to see what God's going to do in our church through our teenagers. Some of you guys have teenagers, and you're wondering where's our youth group and all that stuff. We are working toward that. We are working toward finding someone to lead our teenagers. We want someone that's godly that's going to, you know, lead them close to the Lord. So if you know of somebody that would like to lead our teenagers, please let me know. We will visit with them. But we want to recognize our seniors this morning. My sweet wife's going to announce their names, call their names out, and tell about their future plans. And as they do, if I could get the seniors to come when your name is announced and just stand right up here with me. And then I'll say a few words when we get through.
Chelsea Diane Adams. Chelsea is graduating from Moreland High School and plans to attend Northwestern at Alva. Chelsea is the daughter of Ronnie and Daisy Adams.
Give her a hand.
Sunny Dawn Earn. Sunny is graduating from Moreland High School as well and plans to start a life with her new baby girl. Sunny is the daughter of Don Laup. Ryan Andrew Frey. Ryan is graduating from Moreland High School and plans to work for Diamond Services. Ryan is the son of Melody and Andy Frey. Devin Wayne Loomis. Devin is graduating from Woodward High School and plans to attend Northwestern at Woodward and Oklahoma State University. Devin is the son of Kevin and Angela Loomis. Sean Taylor. Sean is graduating from Woodward High School as well and plans to attend Northwestern. Sean is the son of Mike and Katrina Taylor.
Well, I think that's it. Is it all right, Heather? Thank you. Well, we're just excited again that you guys are graduating, and we're excited to see what God's going to do in your life. We gave you this Capital Bible. Maybe you've already got one of those. Inside of it, you will find a gift certificate to the Cowboy Tax Shop on us. So enjoy that, and may God bless you guys. I want to say something else. Some of you guys are going to college. Some of you guys are going straight to work, or whatever. But here's the thing: you might read a few books at college. I mean, that's what it's all about. Maybe you'll read, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll go to the library, maybe you won't. Right? Maybe. Either way. Well. I'm just going to tell you, there is no greater book that you will ever read than this book right here. Amen? Yeah. The book, my father is the greatest, godliest man I've ever met. And he wrote in my Bible, the key to success. And I want to share that with you today. It's a verse in Joshua. It's Joshua 1:8. It says this. It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That is the key to success. The key to success is found in this book, the Bible, the Word of God. And so I hope as you take this home, or as you got yours maybe at home already, that you will realize that the key to success and prosperity in life, no matter what it is found in the Word of God. And so follow it. It is your guide. It will guide you to new heights in your life. All right? So let's pray together. Let's pray for these seniors. Lord, we thank you for these graduating seniors, Lord. And as they finish one chapter in this book called Life, I pray that as they begin this new chapter, that they would read the chapters that are going to guide them to success, and that's found in your Word. Lord, we thank you for their lives. We thank you for their parents and for the guidance that they've given them. And Lord, I pray that you would just protect them, that you would use them for your glory, and that they would be blessed for the rest of their lives because they follow and obey you. And so we pray your blessing on them today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Give another hand.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning, God, just thanking you for yet again another day, God, that you've just given us to just live our life for you. And I just pray with all of the events and all of the graduations and all the weddings going on, Lord, just even though we're going through our busy lives, Lord, with the busiest time of year, God, I just pray that you'll just let us realize and reflect that even through our busy times, Lord, that we should give you all the glory. And I just pray that you'll be with Bo, God, as he gives his message today, Lord. And I pray this in your name. Amen. All the children can go to Children's Church.
Everybody have a good week? Yeah. All right, good. Anybody suffering from allergies because of the jacked up weather? Hot one day, cold the next day? I mean, it's kind of it's Oklahoma for you, isn't it? Well, we had a breakthrough at our house this past week. We had a real breakthrough. You know what it was? My son learned how to pee standing up. Yeah! I mean, seriously, and I missed the second part of this, but my wife said that he actually peed outside. That's a rite of passage for every man. And she even says that he wrote an H. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll go with it. That's just the pride of man. Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We talk about kids peeing. Well, we are excited. I'm excited. You know, for the last few weeks, we've done a series called cow tipping. Anybody been cow tipping? I've asked this before. Anybody ever been cow tipping? All right, liars. All you guys have been cow tipping. A few of you guys have, and we actually showed a video last week of us cow tipping. The band was cow tipping. I mean, it was really cool, and we had a bunch of rules, you know. I don't know if you caught the rules or not. I don't remember all of them, but there was one rule in there, is, you know, that don't mess with the bull. How did it go? If you see an udder, no need to shudder. Did you catch that rule? If you see a bull, run like a fool, right? Well, I'm not going to give it away, but we want to keep that urban legend alive, the urban legend of cow tipping. I mean, it's a great thing. Try it one of these days if you know somebody that actually has cow. But here's the thing. We started this series on cow tipping, and what we're dealing with are the sacred cows in the church. The sacred cows in the church. Now here, let me define that. They're the sacred cows in the church are those things that we've kind of made up on our own, based on our misunderstanding of scripture, just to suit some of our preferences. They are things that can be present in the church. They can be things that are absent in the church, things that need to be in the church. The first thing we talked about was church discipline. And we learned that it's okay to judge. But we're not supposed to judge the world, right? We're not supposed to judge the world. We're supposed to judge the church, and we're supposed to purify the church. We're supposed to use God's word as our guide to practice church discipline. And again, we're not going to go out and we're going to not hunt down people and figure out what their sins are so that we can practice church discipline. But it is something that a lot of pastors are afraid to talk about. A lot of people a lot of churches are afraid to practice. But at Thousand Hills, we are never going to apologize for practicing the truth of God's word. Amen? So we talked about church discipline. The second thing we talked about was Christians and wealth. Another thing that a lot of pastors are afraid to talk about is money. We are not afraid to talk about money here. Do we make a big deal about it? No. I mean, do we even pass an offering plate or nothing? We don't do any of that. But here's the deal. God has been generous to us so that we can be generous to him. And the truth is, generosity is not a suggestion. If you're a Christian, generosity is a command. And rich is relative. Remember that? I mean, it depends on who you ask. I mean, if you ask the intercept who was the kid that was, you know, born in extreme poverty, and you were to say, man, my car isn't running right, he would say, you got a car? Or, man, I can't find anything to wear this morning. How many clothes do you have in your closet? Rich is relative. And if we were all to be honest, we would be able to say that we are rich. Because there's some people that truly don't have the blessings that we have. And then the last one we talked about was the gray areas in Scripture. Tattoos, drinking, a glass of wine or a beer at dinner. We talked about rated R movies. We talked about smoking pipes and cigars, all those things. And we learned a couple things about it. That, you know, I gave some principles based on Scripture to talk about it. And here's the principles. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Right? Remember that? Just because you have freedom in Christ to maybe do some things that aren't sinful doesn't maybe mean that you should. And then number two, just because I can't doesn't mean you can't. And just because I can doesn't mean you can. Remember, our personal conviction and our personal preferences are not absolute truths. And so we don't look at people and judge them based on what they can or can't do. We just examine our own hearts and make sure that what we're doing is going to glorify God, right? Whether it's a tattoo, whether it's drinking a beer, whether, you know, it's watching this movie, whatever. It doesn't really matter. As long as we glorify and honor God. And as long as we can do it with a clear conscience, and here's the last question that you got to ask. Does it bind me? When you talk about the gray areas, are they binding you? Are they suffocating you spiritually or physically? Those are the questions you have to ask. I hope you examine your heart after that talk last week. I know some of you teenagers walked away and go, Bo said it, so I can do it. Did you hear the part that I said before? Remember, I said, your parents are the what, parents? Boss. Say it again. Boss. If your parents say that this isn't going to happen in your home underneath their roof, then you need to obey your parents. Guess what that is? That's a black and white issue. Not a gray issue. Amen? And so you need to obey your parents. And I just want to reiterate that for all you parents. Give it a shout out. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, okay, this morning is our last part of this cow tipping series. And here's what I want to cover this morning. There's a sacred cow out there that says this. If you clean yourself up, if you put the right clothes on, then you will be presentable to God. If you will dress appropriately, then you will be able to come to church because God wants your best. Now, some of you guys, well, what's wrong with that? Listen, there is really nothing wrong with dressing up. If you wear a suit to church, if you wear a tie to church, praise God. But here's the deal. We are going to tempt the cow that says you have to dress a certain way to come to church. You have to be a certain way. You have to drive a certain car. You have to do all this stuff before you will be presentable to God. We are going to tip that car or that cow over today. Now, I was out feeding this morning. I was feeding some hay this morning, and I just began to realize that I thank God that no matter what I look like after I feed, no matter how much hay or, you know, if the horse, you know, splatters poo all over me or whatever it is, I can still come to church. I don't know about you, but that's freeing for me. When my kids get up and they go outside and the dog jumps on them and they get muddy, I don't have to worry about what you're going to think or what anybody else is going to think. I bring my kids with the dirty clothes and God doesn't give a rip. A lot of people, they go and they, I heard it yesterday. We invited a guy to come to church. Well, I got to feed in the morning. On Sundays, nobody's around to feed for us, and I got to feed. You know what I told her? Come on. Our church is doing things a little bit different. We accept people just as they are. And so that's what we're going to tip today. Because here's the deal. I just assume wear whatever I wear every other day of the week and tip another cow that keeps people from knowing Christ. that's what I'd rather do. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 16 gives us this explanation of how we can tip this cow over. It's a great passage. I just love this passage. But it'll be on the screen if you'll follow along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Listen to it. It said, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king.'" Verse 2. "But Samuel said, 'How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take a heifer.'" Can I just say, I like the scripture because they always include cattle and beef and heifers and all that stuff. Amen? Give it up. Where's the beef? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just a cool thing. It says, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.'" Verse 4. "Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, 'Do you come in peace?' And Samuel replied, 'Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to sacrifice with me.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice." Verse 6. "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eli," or I'm going to call him Eli, "Eliab, and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel," this is the key verse, "'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' Then Jesse called Abinadab." You proud of me? "Abinadab, and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, 'The Lord has not chosen this one either.' Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, 'Nor has the Lord chosen this one.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'There still is the youngest,' Jesse answered, 'but he is tending the sheep.' Samuel said, 'Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.' So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy." By the way, that means that he was light complected. All you white people in the house, redheaded people. That's what that means. He was light complected, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. He is the one.' So Samuel took his horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah." Some great scriptures here. I want to bless the rest of our time. So if you'll pray with me, and then we'll continue on. Lord, I just come to you right now, and I thank you for your scripture. I thank you for the truth of it that we can follow so that we can obey your commands. Not that we live according to our tradition, not that we live according to our preferences, but that we live according to your word. And so, Lord, as we open that today, as we tip another sacred cow out of this church, I pray that you would be glorified through it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in these scriptures, I want to recap this story real quick. Samuel is a prophet. Samuel is a priest. And Samuel was the prophet and the priest that actually elected King Saul, who's the king right now. He actually elected him to be the king. God anointed him, God wanted him, and so he elected him. But here's the thing. Samuel elected Saul based on his outward appearance. In 1 Samuel 9, I think it is, he talks about that he stood head and shoulders above the rest. And so Samuel made the mistake of actually electing King Saul as the next king based on his appearance. Because Saul was a good-looking guy. I mean, he was a man amongst boys. But here's the thing. Samuel gets sent.
verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now listen, Samuel looks one by one at all these brothers, and he rejects them all. The Lord says, none of these are the ones that I want. Samuel asks Jesse in verse 11, he says, are these all the sons you have? And then what does Jesse say? Jesse says, no, there's still one. He's out in the field tending to the sheep. And he's ruddy with fine appearance and handsome features. And then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So here's Samuel looking for another king to replace Saul, and he finds him in David. Now, there are some great truths that I want to share with you this morning about this scripture. Here's number one, if you're taking notes. God doesn't look at what's on the outside, but he looks at what's on the inside. And you say, well, that's practical. That's really just something I've always known. Is it? Or do we judge on the outside? God looks at the inside. He looks at the heart of man. In verse 7, again, it says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for the Lord doesn't look at what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now listen, some of you guys are here today, and you come to this church because people have welcomed you in this church no matter what you've looked like. Praise God for that, amen? We live in a culture, and a lot of people, they want to judge people based on what they look like and how they dress or what they drive or what kind of job they have or if they have a job. And we look at them, and here's the thing. God doesn't care about that stuff. You know what he cares about? He cares about your heart. I never heard Jesus say to his disciples, hey guys, why don't you go clean up? You guys smell like fish. I never heard that. And when he went to Peter and he asked Peter to be one of his disciples, he didn't go, hey man, go home, take a shower before you come and serve me. No, what did he say? Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't care about the outward appearance. He cared about their heart. Now listen, are we supposed to worry about hygiene? Absolutely. I've been too close to some people. I'm just kidding. But we are to worry about hygiene. We are to take care of ourselves. We are to exercise and take care of ourselves. If you ladies that like to tan, I mean, that's cool. If you guys like to work out. But here's the deal. God is more concerned about your heart. He's more concerned about your heart. Listen, remember, God does not look for those who look the part, but those who play the part. Jesus, listen. Jesus himself didn't look the part. Did Jesus wear robes that were purple and wear a crown and sit on a throne when he came? Did he? Absolutely not. He came as a lowly child in a manger, a stable. Listen, Jesus Christ is our greatest example of this. I mean, he didn't look the part, but he played the part. Amen? He played the part. He did what God wanted him to do. He was willing to serve the Lord. And listen, God is looking for the same thing in us. God is looking for those who will love him, those who will serve him, those who will sacrifice everything for the sake of knowing him and making him known. That's what he worries about. That's what he's concerned about. And that's what we need to be about. Listen, we have some core values in our church. And one of the greatest values that I think we've kind of placed in our church is this. It's okay to look like the culture. I mean, many of you guys, we try to reach the Western culture, obviously. We're a cowboy church. We're trying to reach those that are in Northwest Oklahoma that love the Western heritage. Now, here's the thing. We have realized that it's okay to look the part. A lot of people feel uncomfortable wearing a hat in church. Well, listen, we're getting rid of that because we believe that it's okay to look like our culture. But here's the truth. Listen, here's the thing that we've made more important. It's okay to look like a culture, but we are to live radically different. It's okay to wear a hat and to wear your boots and to come. come to church that way, but we are to look radically different. Listen, as Christ, as Christians, we represent Christ everywhere we go, and what we live speaks more than how we look, right? What we live speaks more. Listen to John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. It says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must love or live as Jesus did. Listen, a lot of people get it backwards. They want to look the part, but not live the part. Here at Thousand Hills, we want to promote, we want to make it a part of our DNA that we maybe look like a culture, we can relate to the culture, but that we live radically different. We live to honor God. And you say, well, how do I live? How am I supposed to live? Here's some key points. With integrity. Some of you guys need to check your integrity. Some of you guys at work, you kind of compromise in some areas. And you need to begin to live with integrity. You need to live holy and pleasing to God. You need to live uncompromising. You need to be men and women of character and obedient to his word. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for us how we dress on the outside. He is looking for us and how we live our lives in our heart. That's what he's looking for. And can I just say this? This is something that I kind of noticed in the scripture. Many of you guys wonder, why do we do certain things? Why do we have a fancy screen? Why do we, have this, fancy dream and this vision for what God wants us to do, like building a covered arena and a barn to meet in someday? Here's the thing. Here's what I realize about this verse. The verse says that man does look at the outward appearance. That man looks at the outward appearance. And so here's something. Maybe this is just food for thought. Maybe I just kind of, thought this up. But here's the deal. It is important for the church to represent Christ well. And you say, well, how do we do that? And I think it's just a simple thing. Curb appeal. A good website. A fancy screen, great music, a future, covered arena. And you say, well, what's all that stuff? That stuff, material stuff. Here's what it does. It attracts the unchurched. Because you know why? Man looks on the outward appearance. And you say, well, that's just foolish. And you might be right. I mean, it may be that none of this stuff really matters, and it's all going to burn one day. But listen, we are going to do whatever it takes to reach the unchurched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that means we got to spend a bunch of money to attract somebody so that they can come to know heaven, we're going to spend a bunch of money. Amen? Amen? Can I get all you tightwads to say amen? Listen, you say, well, why does it got to be so fancy? Why do we have such a big dream? And can I just tell you something real quick? We are working on coming up with this idea and having it on paper to present to you what God wants us to do in the future. Through our covered arena, through our barn. I know that some of you guys want to know, what's the future? What are we looking at? Are we looking at $60,000 or are we looking at $600,000? And we're going to do our best to come up with an estimated goal of what we need to do so that we can make that happen. Because I know that helps you guys be able to give to whatever God's doing. But listen, we will do whatever it takes, use whatever tools, whatever God gives us to reach the unchurched. Because man does look at the outward appearance. Here's number two. Number one was, God doesn't look at the outside, but looks at the heart. Number two is this. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I want to mention a guy that's actually here today, and he doesn't know I'm going to mention him, but Dan Hendricks is up here. I don't know if you guys know Dan, but Dan grew up at Slapout, and I asked him that this morning because I wanted to make sure that was true. I actually got the chance to marry Dan and Bree, actually perform their wedding, and so that was a joy. But I was in Laverne back in the day, and I was a youth pastor in Laverne when Dan was still in high school. And I'll never forget it. I substituted. I don't know if Dan remembers this. I substituted for music class because they couldn't get any other sucker to come in there and substitute. And so I substituted for music class, and Dan, if you didn't know, actually, it was the video when he broke his neck. And I don't know if you guys knew that he had broken his neck, but it's a cool video. I'm sorry, Dad. I mean, if you like to see Rex, I mean, it's kind of cool, but I mean, I'm sad that it happened to you, dude. He actually had to wear a halo, you know, the screws in his head and everything. It was You know, but here's the deal. Dan actually grew up in Slapout, Oklahoma, a little small town. You guys know where it's at, northwest Oklahoma. But here's what Dan accomplished. In 2002, Dan was the PBR Rookie of the Year. Give it up. Now, I know Dan is going, why are you talking about me? But here's the deal. Dan came from Slapout, Oklahoma, and ended up being the PBR's Rookie of the Year in 2002. A lot of you guys look around and go, I'm just from Woodward, Oklahoma. I'm just an oil pumper. I'm just a mom. I just work at the Quick Stop. I don't have all this stuff. Listen, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Listen, what was David's job? It was a shepherd. I mean, David wasn't, I mean, he was such not important that he wasn't even around when his brothers came to this ceremony. Did you notice that? I mean, here's David out in the field with his sheep. But listen, God used him in a mighty way. David didn't come from a high palace. He came from the pasture, just like most of us. God wants to use you just like he used David. And you say, well, again, I'm just an old cowboy. I'm just a farmer. I'm just a mom. Listen, you say, God can't use me. Well, the truth is, God can use you in a mighty way. You know it? He can use you in a mighty way. And he will if you give your heart to him. Here's a lie that a lot of us have bought into. Here's the lie. I'm not qualified. Have you ever heard that lie before? I'm not qualified. There's a statement that I learned when I was a teenager that changed my heart on this issue, because I when I stand up before you, a lot of times I don't feel qualified. But here's a statement that revolutionized my life. Ready? Write this down. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Many of you guys are here today and you say, well, I can't do that. I don't know enough. I don't live well enough. I haven't been a Christian long enough, or I'm just a teenager, or I'm too old. Listen, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And if you've been called to be a Christian and you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, listen, God wants to use you in an extraordinary way. You've just got to get on his horse and start riding for him. That's what he wants to do. You've got to give him your heart. You've got to give him your all and see what he does. Listen, personally, I would just as soon have a good old cowboy that I can show how to serve, that I can help mentor on how to serve or how to, you know, to give God their all, than someone that's been to seminary and had all the education they can get. Is education good? Absolutely. Am I educated? Barely. I went to college, graduated, I'm halfway through my master's, but here's the deal. It doesn't mean a hill of beans if I don't love God. Listen, some of you guys are here today, and you are not being used by God because you think you're not good enough. Listen, you know what God says to you? Come just as you are. Come just as you are, and I will use you in a mighty way. I have given you gifts so that you can use them for the glory of God. Listen, God didn't choose David because he was qualified. He chose him because he had a heart for him. And throughout Scripture, God does it all the time. He calls fishermen, liars, cheaters, sinners, those who rejected him, throwaways. He used them all because they had a heart for him. Now, here's something else that I want to mention in closing, and I'm done. Some of you guys are here today, and you don't know Christ personally. And your life is a wreck. Your life is in shambles. And here's what you've said to yourself, because I've heard it. Some of you guys have said it to me. As soon as I get my life right, then I'll start coming to church more. Then I'll start serving more. Then I'll start doing what God wants me to do. Listen, a lot of you guys think, well, I got to get my life right. I got to come to God clean. I got to work some stuff out before God will accept me. Listen, it's a lie. You know what God says? God says, come to me dirty. Come to me filthy. Come to me with all your sin. Stack it all up, and guess what? I'll wipe it out. I'll wash you as white as snow. Come to me dirty. You cannot do it on your own. You can't get through that marriage. You can't raise that child. You can't get that job. You can't stop doing what you're doing, what you're addicted to. You can't do any of that until you come to God. And so listen, don't buy the lie that says, I got to get my life right before I can come to God. God's not going to accept me until I get some things right. Listen, he accepts you just as you are. That's the love that he has. And you know why I know that? Because he does it for me. And so maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ personally. Listen, he will accept you just as you are. And he will love you no matter what. Will he ask you to change some things in your life? Absolutely. But will he bless you for it? Absolutely. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you're a Christian today, and you have this idea in your mind that, you know, someone comes to this church and they're showing too much cleavage or got the Daisy Dukes on or, you know, or just, you know, filthy, that they're not welcome here. If that's you and you have that attitude, this church is not the church for you. We will accept anybody, anytime, anywhere. Because we have what they're looking for, and that's a personal relationship with Jesus. And so I hope that you will change that attitude. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. You know, a lot of churches deal with sacred cows all the time, the things that keep people from coming to Christ or coming to their church. And I'll just tell you this, that we at Thousand Hills Ranch Church are committed to do our best to tip those cows over. And I've said it before, but I will personally light a match to burn any sacred cows that we think we've got to have in this church that are going to keep people from coming to Christ. Can I ask you a question with your head bowed and your eyes closed? What do you judge people on? Do you judge it on their outward appearance, or do you worry more and are you concerned more about their heart? I know it's hard. I know it's hard to accept somebody that's cussing their head off and is doing some stuff that, you know, that's not right, or, you know, or just living like the devil. Listen, I know it's hard. But here's what I've learned. If we will focus on their heart, all the other stuff will go away. If I will look past the person that smells, that doesn't look like me, that wasn't raised like me, that isn't as fortunate as I am, and I will look past all that and look into their heart and see that they need a relationship with Jesus Christ just like I do, then I have an opportunity to help see their life change. And so as you go out today, as you go out this week, and you see people that maybe you go, man, they're just not, I mean, they're not, maybe they're not dressed right or whatever. Please, please don't judge them. Better yet, embrace them. Love them. Encourage them. Invite them to church. And more importantly, invite them to Christ so that he can change their life. Maybe you're that person that's here today and you're lost. You don't know Christ personally. You've never given him your heart. Listen, he will accept you, as I said before, just as you are. And if you have questions about that, if you want to read some scriptures, you want to ask Christ into your life, listen, you can do that at any point. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess him as Lord and believe in him with your heart. That's all you've got to do. And he will accept you just as you are. If you want answers, more answers, if you got questions, my information will be on the screen. Write, text me, write me, call me, whatever it is that you got to do, and we will help you come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for a church that is welcoming. I thank you for a church that doesn't judge people on their outward appearance, but that we accept people just as they are. I pray that we would always be like that, that we would never become too good, or, you know, never become a Christian that's just, you know, prideful, or thinks that we can't use this building because it's going to get dirty or whatever. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to keep the sacred cows out of our church. Lord, I thank you for David and how you took him out of that pasture and you did extraordinary things in his life and through him. And Lord, may we be the same. Take us out of the pastures that we get to ride through and get to walk through and get to, you know, be a steward of every day of our lives, and use us to do extraordinary things. Lord, we thank you for this morning.